If you have your Bible, turn into Psalms chapter 150. Psalms chapter 150. And while you're turning there, I thank this church for your prayers and for your friendship. And we've been very blessed since the last time we was here. God's used us in mighty ways and got to see many, many, many souls saved. And what a blessing this morning to see people being baptized. Do you realize how blessed you are to be in a church where people still get baptized? Some churches go months, years without seeing anybody ever get baptized. So do not take that for granted. You're very, very blessed. And we should never take the moving and the work of the Lord for granted. Don't you agree? Anytime He moves, we are very, very honored and blessed. And we don't deserve it, but by His grace, He moves our way. And this morning, I don't want you to think about this. The number one thing that we're going to do when we get to heaven is what I'm preaching on this morning. The number one thing that we're going to do when we get to heaven is we're going to worship God. If that ever dawns on you, a lot of people say, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to see this, and I can't wait to see Papa, and I can't wait to ask Peter this. And let me tell you, when you get to heaven, it's going to hit you as soon as you walk through those gates, and as soon as your eyes get one glimpse of the glory of God in His presence, you're not going to run up to Him. You're not going to hug His neck. You're not going to shake His hand. You're not going to have questions. It's going to be overwhelming to you. You're going to bow in complete humility, in complete awe, and you're going to worship God. Did you know that's what church is supposed to be? Every Sunday is a day of worship. Every Sunday. And this Sunday, out of all Sundays, should be the peak of our worship. Because we live in the United States of America, and I love Christmas, and I love 4th of July, and I love Valentine's Day, but there's one pure holiday in America, and it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was something that our forefathers set aside, said, we need to set aside one day where we do give thanks unto our God for His bountiful goodness He sent our way. And our country set that day aside. And you say, well, I thought Christmas about Jesus' birth and different things. But a lot of those things, we have a lot of commercialism and we have a lot of, you know, materialism. But there's one day that there is no materialism. There is no commercialism. It's just we need to be thankful for the blessings of God. And the Bible tells us, if you are blessed today, that it came from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. So in other words, anything you have today, you didn't earn it. And anything you have today, you didn't deserve it. Just for some reason, God has chosen to be good to you. Isn't that amazing? And that ought to make us, our automatic response is, well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you just want to honor Him. You just want to praise Him. And you just want to thank Him for His bountiful riches and His bountiful goodness. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, Paul told the church of Corinth, he says, if whatever you have is a gift and it's grace, then why do you glory in it? As if you didn't receive it. But you did receive it. In other words, you know, we can't, none of us say, well, I deserve that. No, you didn't deserve it. Just God in His mercy gave you something. And if you're blessed today, God gave it to you. And anything, no matter what it is, even if you're here today and you're lost, you know, even if you're here today and you're an atheist, God's still being good to you. I preached in the church the other night. I mean, a Bible-believing, I mean, one of the best churches in Western North Carolina, preached in that church, and God blessed and moved in a mighty way. Went back the next night, and another guy was preaching. And as I was there, a guy comes walking up to me, shakes my hand and says, boy, I enjoyed your message last night. And then he said, I don't believe what you believe, but that was really good. I thought, he said, that message was so moving and so touching. He said, but I don't think our blessings, I don't think we should depend on an outer force. And I don't think we should depend on any Bible character or any other thing. I think the goodness comes from within. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? God's still been good to him. Even though he shakes his nose at God and he denies him, God in His mercy continues to bless him every single day. But us as God's people, when we realize it is God, and we realize we're going to a place one day where we'll see Him sitting on His throne, and we'll see Him sitting in all His glory, well, hallelujah, I think I'll just practice now, don't you? And just worship Him. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And the Bible says, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know, God's looking for people like that. God's looking for some people to worship Him. Now, a lot of people say, I want to do this and I want to do that. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for some people to just say, I want to worship Him for who He is and for what He's done. And just worship Him. You know those children up here a while ago? God's looking for some children just to worship Him. God's looking for some older people just to worship Him. Just to praise Him. Just to thank Him. Why? Because we're so blessed. So this morning, you know who I'm preaching to? I'm preaching to the richest of the rich in the entire world. And here you are. If anybody should be praising God, it's you. You say, preacher, you don't know the junk I live with and the problems I have. You're still rich. Beyond rich. I mean, you live in America and you have all these possessions and you're saved and you have a Bible in your lap. Man, you're filthy rich. Stinking rich. And the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 150 that it ends, the whole book of Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, ends with this doxology. Let's just praise the Lord. And it says in Psalms chapter 150, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you're here and you're not dead, say amen. Well, that means you have breath, then you should praise the Lord. And you have a command, praise ye the Lord. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't like when people get excited in church. I believe that we need to just calm down. And I believe that we need to be serious, and I believe we need to be this. I don't know who told you that. Probably the devil himself. Because, do you know that heaven is going to be so loud? There's going to be loud choirs, and people are happy, and people are smiling. Joyous occasion. The Bible says here, look what it says. In Psalms chapter number 5, praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. In other words, He didn't say, it said, get some excitement about it. You know that? You ever had something exciting happen to you? It fires you up, don't it? It just, you know, you ever seen a kid get excited at Christmas? You don't say, calm down now. There's no use to get excited. You like to see him praise the Lord or get excited about whatever it is. Excitement is contagious. Did you know that? It is. It's contagious. And you see this person get excited, before long somebody else gets excited. Somebody else gets excited. And church ought to be a place that if a lost man comes in, he would say, what are these people so excited about? What are these people so happy for? And then before long, they'd be like, I want to get in on this. But if it came in church, somebody's like, yes. They say, I don't think I want any of that. I mean, the world's depressing enough, don't you agree? I mean, I think people are looking for something to be excited about. All right, so the Bible tells us that we should praise the Lord. And this morning, I want to show you something. There's different levels to this. You can start with the shallow, then you can go a little deeper, and then you get down to the depths of true, pure worship. And this morning we're going to start and then we're going to keep on digging until we get all the way to the bottom where we're truly worshiping God. And I dare say this morning, there's a big number of people here. Very few have ever got to the place pure, unadulterated, no agenda, worship. If you ever get to that place, you're getting into the Holy of Holies. You're getting in there where you know I'm in the presence of God. And if you ever get there, I'm telling you right now, you'll feel His presence in a way you've never felt it before. And you'll be just like Job was. And Job said in Job at the last chapter, he said, I've heard about Him, but now I've seen Him. That's what Job said. Job said, I heard Him. Now I've seen Him. I know Him now. So this morning, I want to take you to the depth. Hopefully you'll leave here saying, I caught a glimpse. I caught a glimpse of Him. But we need to start with scratching the surface. The smallest form of worship is where we just thank God for what He's done for us. We just thank God for His mighty acts. Psalms chapter 150 says. I want to show you some things here. The places we've been and things we've done. And, you know, three things will make you thankful. Three things. Number one, seeing somebody that don't have what you have. Number two, having something and losing it. Or number three, realizing who you are, that you don't deserve what you have. Those three things will make you thankful. Now, I'm just like you. We take our blessings for granted a lot of times. It's human nature. You take things for granted. But if you see somebody without what you have, or you lose what you have, it'll make you thankful. Well, one of the things that's made me more thankful than I've ever been is going to Mozambique, Africa. It's made me thankful because I've seen people that do not have anywhere close to what we have. Hey, I've seen people that live in a little, practically a closet with a dirt floor and a grass roof. Hundreds and thousands of people live like that, and they have four and five children, and the husband and wife live in that, and they sleep on the ground. They have no running water, no clean water. Diseases running rampant, mosquitoes coming in there, convulsions, fever with malaria. They live in complete, utter poverty. I've seen that. You know what that makes me? Thankful for what I have. Very thankful for what I have. And so, what I want to show you this morning, I have to show this church this. I don't know if you shared this picture with them when I sent it to you from Africa or not, but ladies, you made those quilts, or you made that quilt, and Sandra and I, we use this quilt in our tent every night. But right as we got to the last night we were camping out, we wanted to give it to somebody special. And this lady here was a complete servant and a worker. And we picked her and we gave her that quilt. And I'm telling you something, to her, that was gold. Gold. You want to see a fight in Africa? Bring a blanket out. I'm serious. Those ladies, to them, that's a prized possession. And when this lady got this, it was just beyond a gift to her. All right? This is the next one I want to show you. This is one of the churches that we preach at, and this is the crowds that come in there, and they're standing outside, they're looking in the windows, they're packed in, they're sitting on the floor, sitting on a dirt floor to come to church. You know what I think you ought to do next Sunday? I think you ought to take all these pews out, take the carpet out, turn the lights out, and everybody has to sit on the floor in here. You say, I'm thankful, I'm thankful. You'd be mumbling and grumbling and complaining so bad you wouldn't know what was going on. But here, and you see the roof made out of grass and stuff, and if it rains, it comes in, and we have to buy plastics for them so they can have church in the rainy season. But this is an example. But you know what those people do? When they come in there, they start singing and worshiping. And I know this will break some of you fundamental Baptists. It'll make you have a nervous break. They start dancing. You say, well, they shouldn't be dancing in church. Psalms 150 said they're going to be dancing and praising the Lord. It's a dance where they're praising God. All right, so that's just example, all right? This here is that's a dry riverbed. This is in the village of Zimba where we preached for the first time. And just tremendous service. Many villages came together, and that's a dry riverbed because in the rainy season, that is the river, flowing river. In the dry season, you can see what they have. These people have no well, no borehole. So they've hand dug that hole over there, and those young teenage girls, 13, 14 years old, they go, it's their job to go get water, and they take those buckets with a stick, and they reach down in there, and they pull that water out. And that's the water that they use to live on. You see that bucket of water? I took that picture from that borehole, or from that little hand-dug well right there. And that water is disgusting and filthy. That's what they drink. That's what they live off of. See, we don't understand. It takes water to survive, but it takes clean water to live. Because if you don't have it, that'll kill you. That'll kill you. Matter of fact, in one of the villages we was in, we sleep in tents, we sleep on the ground. It was 100 degrees. You talk about miserable. I mean, I was begging for something cold to drink. I mean, begging. I paid a guy to get on a motorbike and go to the market and said, please bring me back a cold Coca-Cola. And the time he got back, it was warm. And I wasn't spiritual. I was like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so it's the hardest trip Sandra and I've ever been on, but probably the best. The best as far as spiritual blessings. All right? And this next one right here is Sandra. Actually, these are children begging for bread. She's passing out breadcrumbs right here. All right? And this is a video, actually, and you'll see them, these children. So, you see, that's hunger. That's hunger. We had ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches through the week, Sandra and I had. And so we had bought some bread in the city. And as we traveled, that bread had gotten crushed. Well, Sandra don't believe in wasting anything. She took that and said, those kids don't get bread. They don't get bread where they live. And so they're begging and coming in there and pushing in to Sandra just to get a piece of bread, crumbs. Hey, see how rich we are and how blessed we are? And you say, well, that's on the other side of the world. Let me tell you something. That's some of my best friends. I know them by name. And I talk to them on WhatsApp as far as the men that's leading this ministry. And this ministry doesn't happen just when I go there. It's around the clock. Today, right now, I've got men throughout Mozambique preaching the gospel, going in those villages. This ministry is growing faster than I can keep up with. And we're going back in March doing a doctrine conference. And God's blessing tremendously. And I've already got the lessons printed out. I already sent them to them. They're putting them in their language. And we're going to have hundreds and hundreds of people from villages coming. And I'm going to slow down and teach them the gospel, the doctrine of the gospel, doctrine of eternal security, the doctrine of the Bible and how to understand the Bible. And because, listen, they're getting saved, but now we've got to grow them in the roots. Because the Bible didn't call me to make converts. The Bible called me to make disciples. See the difference? All right? And so, this is what it looks like when I show you this video. This is us. We go from village to village, and when we drive up in our little Toyota pickup truck, we go through these dust. There's not roads, but it's just dusty trails. And you see, that's the landscape. All right, it's not jungles and lions and tigers and elephants and zebras. It's barren. It's nothing. All right, and when we drive up to their village, listen, to come preach the gospel, this is the reaction. This is the welcome. Remember, the children of Israel sang praises as they were going to the house of the Lord. That's them welcoming us. They've come to give us the Word of God. They've come to give us the gospel. And we come to church. Something wrong with us, don't you agree? And those people got up that morning, didn't have a bar soap. They don't have rolled toilet paper. They don't have toothbrush. They don't have toothpaste. Didn't have power. But they got up and they're that happy just to come to church. This is another video. Them welcoming us in another place. This is in Shamo. All right? And they came and walked for a long ways to get to us, to greet us. You see, that's our white pickup truck. I'm videoing them. They've walked through street, street, street to get to us. And they sing in 100-degree temperature. They'll dance and sing the whole way till we get to the place where we're going to preach to them. Isn't that amazing? Now, I love you people at Bible Way, but I was disappointed when I pulled in this morning. I thought I would get that. And I was very upset about that. All right, go ahead and go to the next one if you would. All right, this is one of the most humbling things that happens to Sandra and I. And this happens periodically in some of these villages. You got to realize these people, the wraps that they have around them, that's their clothes. They honor so much that you've come to them. Some of them have never seen a white person. And they can't believe you've come to them. They can't believe it. It's shocking to them. We've had 60, 70-year-old people come and say, I heard you were coming. I had to come see for myself if this is true. And they wanted to come. But they'll take their wraps off and lay them on the ground and make a path. They say, we want to honor you. You don't deserve to walk on the dust. We make you a path. You talk about humbling. That's a humbling experience. And you see that baby shaking on that girl's back? There is no such thing as shaking baby syndrome. They in the choir, they're like that and everywhere. That's how they carry their children. And that's the little church we're going to go into. See that? You got a duck just to get in. And that little grass, the roof, that's how honored it is. Isn't that a miracle? But you see those people? Is that my last one, brother? Yes, that's my last. You see how honored we are? That's how blessed we are. Now, I wanted to show you that. Now we go back, and we're going to go down this little path. We start with this most elementary form of worship. Praise God for His mighty acts. And I'm preaching to America now, and I'm preaching to the people that God's blessed on this earth beyond all measure. Now, we woke up this morning. You know what we should have been doing? God, I thank you. I thank you that I can put my jacket on. I thank you that I got a pair of shoes. I thank you that I went to my spigot and I turned it and water came out. I thank you that I went to my shower and turned the spigot on and hot water came out. I thank you that I have a roll of toilet paper. I thank you that I can brush my teeth. Hey, children, I know you hate school. I hated it too. You ought to thank God that you go to school. Those kids don't even go to school. They don't have an education. They never learn to read, never learn to write. Most of them will never ride in a car, never drive a car. We're blessed. You know why America ordained Thanksgiving? For this reason. We're sitting here today and we are beyond blessed. What makes me so thankful? I've seen people without. Hey, let you go without it one time and you'll be thanking God. You know how good God's been to you? Clean air in my lungs. My heart's still beating. Now, this morning, you know what I did? My own sanity, I could tie my own shoes. I knew my wife's name. I knew to get in the car and turn it, that the gas is on the right. You say, well, preacher, everybody knows that. Hey, let Alzheimer's come to your body. Let dementia get a hold of you. And you don't even know where you're at. You don't know your spouse's name. Now's the time to thank God. Now's the time to be thankful. Hey, go to your cabinet and open that cabinet and see the crackers and the cereal and the peanut butter and the canned goods. You ought to fall on your knees every now and then on a Tuesday morning and say, well, glory to God anyhow. I'm blessed beyond all measure. But you know what a lot of us do? We do the same thing the children of Israel did. One of the main things that grieved God with the children of Israel was they murmured and they complained. And they murmured and they complained. And they murmured and they complained. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Numbers 21 that God eventually said, I've had enough. What were they murmuring and complaining about? You brought us out here in this wilderness. We don't have any water. Well, I'm tired of eating the same old food all the time. And I'm sick of this. And they said, why don't we just go back to slavery? Can you believe that? You say, I can't believe that they murmured and complained about that. God's feeding them every morning. He's dropping manna from heaven. God's made sure they've had water. God's got them out of slavery. What else do they want? We're the same way. Amen. You know, I could get up here this morning and preach on abortion, preach on drugs, preach on drunkenness, and everybody, amen, preach it. That's right. But what if I got up here this morning and said, how about the murmuring and the complaining just cease? You know, we sweep that under the rug. But that's just as grieving to God as anything else. We're blessed. We're really blessed, church. And it's amazing how the things we take for granted until they're gone. And brother, I've been praying for you and you back. He had an accident I know years ago that was beyond anything I've ever been through. But I still remember one time, Christmas is coming up, and I still remember one time I was on the roof at my house, and I put Christmas lights up every year, and I take them down every year. And one time, after Christmas, it was time to take them down, and I got up there, and I was taking them down, and the next thing I know, I was down. And I still remember laying in that yard with my face in the grass, and my wife come running out the door, and I had put a compression fracture in my back. And I still remember laying in my bed and my back hurting so bad and so tight that I couldn't even turn and roll over. You know what I immediately became thankful for? Thank God that I can even get out of the bed. Thank God I can even roll over. See, whatever you have this morning is a gift from God. It's a gift. And now we could go on and name and name and name many blessings, but why don't we just say, God, anything. I'm just thankful. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you for being good to me. And so this morning, why don't you join me? Let's just say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what hallelujah means? Praise Jehovah. Praise Yahweh. Say it again.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because for his mighty acts, he's been good to us. And just like the children of Israel, they should have been praising God. We should be praising God. Thank God for His goodness and thank God for His riches. All right? And so the number one thing Satan wants to get our mind on is what we don't have. But thank God wants us to focus on is what we do have. We've been blessed. All right? So the second thing, when we go a little deeper, boy, we should thank Him for His goodness and thank Him for His riches. You ever give a kid something and they gripe because they didn't get it too? What do you want to do? Oh, beat the devil out of you. I mean, you want to see something? You want to see a godly mama transformed into an alien? Go to Walmart, right there at that checkout line. And she's got her two little children, and they're checking out. And she says, why don't y'all get you a piece of candy? And them kids say, oh, thank you, mama. And then they go over and they're like, I want both. And that mama said, no, just one. What's she expecting? Just, I'm being good to you. And those kids will say, but I want both. And they say, no, just one. Down in the floor, rolling around. And that mama eventually said, and what's she do? She jerks him up by the hair of his head, drags him out the door, forgets her groceries. Why? I've had enough. Why should you be so what? Ungrateful. Ungrateful. You know what God, I think, eventually wants to tell us sometimes? Why you be so ungrateful? Why you be so unthankful? All right, so number one on the short one is, for His mighty acts. Then number two, what's better than things? People. Don't you agree? Isn't people better than things? So when we go a little deeper in our thankfulness, what the children of Israel, the whole book of Psalms, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the furnace of power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent goodness. Then you start saying, praise Him with the psaltery and the harp and the timbrel and the dance. You know what you're starting to see? There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people together here. What's the only time God ever said this that when He done something? It's not good. When Adam was alone. He said, this ain't good. We need to do something about this. This is not good. You know what the next level when you go deeper in being thankful is? You ought to thank God for the people in your life.
Yes, sir.
For the people in your life. If you're a part of this church, you ought to thank God for a church family.
Amen.
I thank God for, I believe God crossed our path. I got a friend in the ministry now. I thank God for that. You know what? You know the worst thing you can do to a man in prison? Put him in solitary confinement. We'll just put you by yourself. They'll still give him food. They still give him a toilet. They still give him water. But they say, we'll cut you off from everybody. Make you by yourself. You say, well, preacher, I'm here this morning and I don't really have a church family or I don't have friends. I believe that's the reason God gave us churches. This is where you come. to rub shoulders with God's people, part of the family of God.
Amen.
God gives us people. Listen, 26 years ago, I remember being alone. I remember something was missing in my life. I had possessions, I had a job, I had friends, but something's missing. Then God sent me Sandra. God sent me my wife. I believe she is a gift from God to me specifically. I believe that. God said, and I'm thankful for my wife. But look how Satan tries to get us to do. With our things, Satan gets us to complain because we don't have what somebody else has. But with people, what does Satan try to do? Satan tries to get us to turn on one another. And when we turn on one another, instead of being thankful, we become disgruntled with one another. If you're here this morning and you're married, you ought to thank God that God sent you somebody that you don't have to live the rest of your life with. Matter of fact, one of the biggest needs in the church that God says is pure religion is that we help the widows, those that have lost their significant other, those that have lost their spouse. I'm blessed to have a wife. Not only do I have a wife, I have a godly wife. I have a loving wife. You say, well, preacher, I ain't thankful for my wife. She's driving me crazy. I ain't thankful for my husband because he is a deadbeat. He's this. Let me tell you something. What do you think you deserve Prince Charming for? Hey, sir, why do you think you deserve the best of the best? You think you're that good? I mean, you really think you deserve the best? You ought to be thankful for anybody that would want to live with you. Amen? You ought to be thankful for anybody that wakes up in the morning and sees you before you put all your makeup on and still love you anyhow. You ought to be thankful for anybody that wants to live with you and all your junk. You know what Sandra's seen out of me? See, y'all see me in my suit, my tie. Hallelujah, bless God, Brother Keith's here. But she's seen me at my worst. She's seen me complain and grumble and my sins and my faults and all my sickness and all this. She's seen all that. Yes, where's she at? Right beside me anyhow.
Amen.
You're blessed.
Amen.
Do you see that? And then God blessed me with two children. I'm blessed. Blessed. Do you realize that this morning? If you have a child, you have grandchildren, the Bible says that's the fruit of the womb. That's His reward to you. You're blessed. You see that? And you know, but a lot of times what do? We don't appreciate that until it's gone. One of the things that's been the most sad thing that's been coming out of this Israel-Palestine thing since October 7th is when they interview those families that their hostages have been taken. And I thought about that. And I've listened to them talk. And you know what they're doing? They're praying, they're crying, they're weeping, they're longing for their loved one. Why are they longing for their loved one? Because we had them and now they've gone. They've been taken. And I didn't realize, oh, I would love to see them one more time. I would love to hear their voice. I would love to connect with them. What happened? Now they're gone. I'm very thankful. And just this past week, I was talking to a lady and she used to have big family get-togethers and have all these families come over. And I still remember her from years ago when those people would come over, she'd grumble and complain. Having to cook for all these people and have to clean up for all these people and have to do this. And she grumbled and complained and grumbled and complained. And this Thanksgiving, everybody's gone. You know what she said? I miss those days. I miss those days. Everybody used to come over. Family and people are a blessing from God. Just yesterday, y'all think I'm super spiritual. You know where I was at yesterday? I was with 80,000 people in Clemson watching a football game. See, I know I'm in Tennessee country, and God will save you if you will change to the real orange. God will save you. But I mean, I was watching Clemson play last night. Here are 80,000 people, and everybody's cheering for the football team and going crazy. And the public address announcer comes over and says this, "Ladies and gentlemen, we need your help. We have a need. There's a 73-year-old lady that's missing. She's wearing dark pants, and she's wearing, went through what she's wearing, and everybody's like, oh, oh. A few minutes later, public address announcer comes over and says this, ladies and gentlemen, the missing person has been located. Everybody's like, hey! Why are they so happy for her? She found. Oh, that's sad. She was gone. We was worried about her. You know, those 80,000 people didn't care about that woman until she was missing. A lot of you don't care about your children. You don't care about your spouse. You don't care about your grandparents. You don't care about your friends until they're gone. But why not be thankful today? Might not be thankful now. You're blessed to have people in your life. Friends, family, loved ones. We're blessed. And so we see here that there's a praising going on and there's a worshiping going on, and it starts with things. But boy, isn't people better than things? Wouldn't it be bad to have all your possessions and be alone? Wouldn't it be terrible? Aren't you glad to have people to share things with? Aren't you glad to have loved ones? Things, then people, and then we get down here, now we're getting cleaning the bottom out. What if you didn't have anything? What if you had nothing? Nothing. Could you still worship God anyhow? Could you still be thankful? Now a lot of us say yes. But we've been to places where things start getting taken away, and we change like that. It's morning now. Just for a few minutes, I want us to get honest and sincere. Have you ever been to a place where you got bitter on God? You ever been to a place where you got in your prayer closet and said, God, why? Why? And you're starting to get a little bitter. And you start to get a little upset. You know what Tennessee's full of? I guarantee it's the same thing as in Western North Carolina. It's full of people who were once praising God. But now they've turned. You know what made them turn? They didn't get what they thought they should get. They didn't get what they thought was a fair deal from God. They didn't get that. So they have determined, I'm backing up. Now let me help you with something. If you're looking for a fair deal from God, you really don't want that. Because God's holy and God's perfect. And we absolutely deserve zero from Him. But that's the reason they call it grace. God in His grace and God in His mercy has chosen, for some reason, to deal with you on a basis of grace and mercy. Grace is this. Grace is God giving me something that I do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. You know what every one of us are hanging out on this morning? Grace and mercy. And grace and mercy. Now I'm going to show you how this works. You got a man sitting in church, and he's trying to serve God. Maybe he got saved. Maybe he got baptized. Maybe he's been reading his Bible. He's been tithing. He's been doing everything he knows to do to serve God. And he understands that things ain't always going to be perfect. That there's going to be flat tires and there's going to be sicknesses and things ain't always going to be perfect. And he tries to serve God the best of his ability. But then one day, boom, his whole world gets rocked. Whole world gets rocked. It's like thing after thing after thing keeps falling apart. He's tried to serve God. He's prayed for the right spouse. Then he gets married. And the next thing you know, 5 years, 6 years into that marriage, his friend calls him and says, I don't know if you want to know this, and I have a hard time, but I've seen your wife with another man. Son, what a gut punch. What a gut punch. And then they had a child together, and next thing you know, she's taking that child away. And so he finds himself in the altar praying, weeping, God, please send my wife back. God, please put my family back together. And the more he prays, and the more he prays, and the more he seeks God, the worse it gets. The worse it gets. And then before long, you know who's in his world? Satan himself. And Satan says something like this. Where's your God now? You don't deserve this. You tried to live for Him. You tried to witness to people. You've tithed. You tried to marry the right person. You tried to raise your child right. Look where it got you. Look where it got you. And before you know what he says? God, this is not fair. This is not fair, God. I don't deserve this. I've tried to serve you. I've tried to live for you. It's not fair. You take a lady over here who's prayed, sought God. God, more than anything, I want my arms to hold a child. God, I'm asking you now, please bless me with a child. I beg you, God, bless me. Bless me and my husband, and the best I can, if you bless us with a child, we'll raise him to serve you. We'll raise him in church. Help me, Lord. God, please. Months go by. Years go by. Years go by. She's sitting in church. All of a sudden, she walks out the door one day, and that burden getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Then she's riding down the road, and all of a sudden, she looks over here, and there's a teenage girl. She's pregnant. She don't have anything to do with God. She's taking that baby, and she sees that girl walking in an abortion clinic. You know what she's saying? I don't get it, God. I don't get it. That's not fair. That's not fair. God, more than anything, I've tried to serve you and I've told you, help me, God. What's going on? And you could go example after example after example. And I'm going to confess to you this morning, I believe in being real. I've been to that place more than once in my life. I've been there more than once. And you that just got baptized and you new Christians, let me help you with something. You're going. You're going to that place. Because God's going to take you there. God's going to take you there. And when you get to that place, you're going to do one of three things. You're either going to turn away or you're going to endure and become numb. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They become numb. Do you know there's a lot of spiritual numb people sitting here this morning? You've been saved, but after a while, it's just you're numb. The pain is there, but you've learned to kind of just deal with it and sweep it under the rug. Or you're going to do this. You're going to go deep with God and get to a place pure worship. That's where I want to take you for a second. I want to show you pure worship. Pure worship is found. You ever heard of a man named Job? Job was a man that walked with God. The Bible said he eschewed evil. That he was righteous. And he lived for God. And as Job's trying to do right. Job's serving God. Satan, the fallen angel, approaches God. And he says, the only reason Job's serving you, God, is because you've been good to him.
Right. That's right.
The only reason Job's serving you is because you blessed him. That's the only reason, God. And God said, I'll prove you wrong. Take away his possessions. Take away his people. He'll serve me. He'll serve me. So Satan begins to torment Job. And he loses his possessions. You can read it in the book of Job, first chapter.
Yes, sir.
He loses all his possessions. And he's rich. The Bible says he's one of the greatest men of the East. Thousands of oxen and sheep and cattle. And all of a sudden he starts losing possession after possession after possession. And he had 10 children. And he loses all 10 children in one accident. The house falls on him. He loses them all. And then he loses his wife. She didn't die, but what did his wife do? She turned her back on him. She said, won't you just curse God and die? She pretty much tells Job, why don't you just kill yourself? So he's losing everybody. He's lost his possessions and he's lost his people. So here he is at the bottom. Job's got a choice. I can just turn and walk away from this. I got an unfair deal. I can become numb and just go through the motions. Or I can go to a deep place with God. You know, the book of Job teaches us the most deepest lesson that God tries to teach us throughout Scripture. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible.
Yeah.
The oldest book. It's older than Genesis. Yes. The book of Job, when you go back and you look at which book was written first, Job is the oldest book. Why did God put that in there so big? Because he's looking for people to worship him. To worship him. So here's Job, and he's lost it all. Then the Bible says that Satan came back. Satan still, man, said, I tell you what, let me have his body one time. Then he'll turn on you. God says, I tell you what, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. Go ahead. And the Bible says that he starts to torment Job. And it's a torment, Job, that Job continually to stay strong. And Job comes up with this statement. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Son, you imagine that now? Imagine that girl looking for that child. Imagine that man who's lost his family. Imagine you who've lost your job. Imagine you who've been hurt in the ministry. Imagine you who've been betrayed, lost it all. And you're like, I've tried to serve God. It's an unfair deal. Imagine one day, not saying the words, but from your heart. I mean, everything you've got. God, I don't understand it, and I don't get it, and I'm miserable. But blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, God. I don't deserve anything from you, but I know your name. Blessed be your name. And the Bible tells us that's when you get to a place. Job, his friends could tell him, Job, something's wrong with you. There's a reason for this. And it's one thing I've learned in the ministry. And if you come back tonight, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to preach another message. Christianity is not 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's not a formula. It's not ABC. And when I went through Bible college and preaching and stuff, a lot of times I fall into this trap. If you'll do your marriage this way and this way and this way, everything will be perfect. If you'll raise your kids this way and this way and this way, that'll all work out. Christianity is not a formula. Let me tell you what it is. It's a relationship with God. It's knowing Him. And Paul said eventually, he said, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. You know the greatest thing about heaven is? I get to know Him. I've read about Him. Heard about Him. I've talked to Him. Now I'm going to know Him. I'm going to know Him. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to fellowship with Him. I'm going to know Him like I've never known Him before. Well, God don't want you to wait to get to heaven. He wants you to know Him now. He said, I want to know you. So you want to know God? Get to the place where it ain't about the things and it ain't about the people. It's about Him. About Him. And realizing what He's done for me, it's already enough. It's enough. Do you realize if God never give you anything, He's already given you enough? You say, what did He give me? He gave you a son. That's enough. That's enough? That's enough. Do you realize that? You say, this morning, preacher, you're talking about all those things, people. I'm sitting here. I'm alone. I've buried my wife. I've buried my husband. My children don't have anything to do with me. They don't call anymore. My grandkids don't have anything to do with me. I'm barely making it on my Social Security check. You know, you talk about those things. I'm living a rough life. Well, how about going to the very bottom? And when you get in that prayer closet, well, hallelujah. He's given me more than enough. See, what people do when they get bitter at God's this. They sit at the bargain table with God and they said, I've done this and this and this. I think you should do this. That's what we do with God. Isn't that a slap in His face? Any of you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon had this quote. Listen at this, talking about pure worship. Spurgeon says, surely it has not come to this among God's people, that He must do as we like, or else we will not praise Him. If He does not please us every day and give us our whims and gratify our taste, then we will not praise Him. He said, surely it ain't come to that. Surely it ain't come to that. Surely we can praise Him for what He's already done. And surely can praise Him for who He is. You know what I say this morning? I believe we can. Amen. And you know what happens when we do that? Psalms chapter 22 verse 3 says, God inhabits the praises of His people. You're here this morning and you say, I'm discouraged. You'll be encouraged. Start praising Him. You're here this morning, you've got lost family members. You want to see God get a hold of them? Let the praise of God come down. You're here this morning and you're lost. Let me tell you something. If a church was to start truly praising Him, A lost man walk in this door and be so uncomfortable he'd have to get in. That's a fact.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and your marriage is upside down, get in the presence of God, everything will change. Your mind, everything changes when we get in the presence of God.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing about heaven, is the presence of God.
Amen.
It's Him. It's who He is. I still remember one time, I'm almost done, I still remember one time, I was going through a hard place. I was in the ministry. I was pastoring a church. And I ain't going to tell you all the details, but I was going through one of those mental battles that would almost get you committed. I'm serious. I'm talking about hell gripping me. Man, I couldn't even be a dad. I couldn't be a husband. I was miserable. Miserable. Satan had shot me fiery darts, got my mind so messed up. I was beyond words. And my wife looked at me. She knew what I was going through. She's the only one, basically. She said, "You've got to get some help." And she called this older preacher. And he had been on the mission field. She called him and said, "I'm sending him over there. You've got to do something. He needs help." And she sent me to his house. And I got in my truck and drove to his house and I walked in. And I began to tell him what was going on. And I poured my guts out. And I just dropped all the facade. And I said, "Man, I'm this and I'm that. I am dying. I'm miserable." And it was humiliating how low I was, even in his house of another preacher. You know what he told me? Not what I thought he was going to tell me. Not what I wanted to hear. He said, "You know what you need to start doing right now? You start praising God." That's what he told me. He said, "You start praising God right now." Well, that didn't make any sense to me. That didn't make any sense. That ain't going to help me. I need somebody to give me a formula. I need somebody to give me some medication. I need somebody to give me something to fix this. He said, "Start praising Him. Start praising God." You say, "It don't make sense. Everything's falling apart. I'm miserable. I'm dying." But when you start praising Him and you say, "God, I don't deserve anything. And I don't deserve any blessings. And I don't deserve sanity. And I don't deserve peace. And I don't deserve anything. Help me." And the heavens are silent. And then all of a sudden, you find that place and you get on your knees and you say, "But God, I'm miserable. I can't, there's nothing I can do. It won't go away." And all of a sudden you get to a place and you say, "I don't understand it.
I have wondered why.
I'm miserable."
I've had to live
and you listen to this.
Hard life.
I don't know exactly why I've lived such a hard life.
Questions.
Shouldn't
things be better? For me?
But then all of a sudden you get in the bargaining table with God. And you sit there. And you say, "God, you owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. So I'm just going to praise you for who you are and for what you've done. Do not owe me one thing. You don't owe me anything. You know what I'm going to? I'm getting deep. Digging. It's digging. And I get on down there and everything gets scraped away. And it all gets scraped away. It's just me and God. And it ain't about the possessions. It ain't about the people. It's about this. You've already been good enough to me." Listen. The guy who sings the song was on drugs. Turned his back on God. In fact, he lost everything he had. But then he comes to a place of pure worship.
"Now my
debt's been paid.
You sent my Savior and God. I owe you my life.
I owe him my life."
You
hear that?
"Forever.
Now here we go. We're going to worship. Everything's
every
gone.
Day,
everything's stripped down.
Every day, but
you do not owe me one thing." Psalms chapter 150. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He's already done. Praise Him for Calvary. Praise Him for His name. Praise God for who He is. Praise God for all He is. Praise God, He's already finished, son. He owes me nothing. He said, "What if you don't wake me up tomorrow?" Praise Him anyhow.
What if I lose my family? Praise Him anyhow. What if I lose my possessions? Praise Him anyhow. What if I die tomorrow? Praise Him anyhow. What if I have to go to oncology tomorrow? Praise Him anyhow. God's already been good enough. I owe Him everything. Everything I owe Him. All the praises go to Him. All the glory goes to Him. All the honor goes to Him. You see what's just happened? We're going to the dead with God. To the dead. We're going to the bottom. We're saying, God, stretch away everything. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for people to worship Him in that way. In that way. And He don't owe me one thing. Nothing. He owes me nothing. He don't owe me tomorrow. He don't owe me anything because of past. He don't owe me money. He don't owe me a job. He don't owe me position. All He owes me is nothing. And then all of a sudden I respond to Him with praise Your name. Glory to Your name. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. When we get to heaven one day, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bow. Say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His glorious good. See how good God is? See, some of you are like, I don't know if I can do that. God will take you to the place where it's gone. Everything's gone. Everybody's gone. Me and God. My dad went to that place. He laid in a hospital bed, dying of cold. I couldn't go see. Had no family. Had no children. Losing his health. Lost his possessions. Dying in the hospital bed by himself 2 years ago. You know what he had that nursing place? Place. How great thou art. God's good anyhow. What a God we serve, don't you agree? What a God we serve. This is thanksgiving. This is heaven. This is the touch of what it's all about. One day, we're going to that place called heaven. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Let's all stand for a minute as she plays softly. And we want to calm down now and worship Him in His holiness and in His pureness. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know what you're behind on? Your praises. You're behind on your praises. If you're here this morning and you're lost, welcome to the presence of God. May you tremble under conviction, realizing you're in His presence. Oh, the presence of God will make a sinner fall to his knees. Oh, the presence of God will make a saint want to bow and worship Him and praise Him. Many people already come to the altar, their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Nobody looking. I wonder how many Christians slip up your hand and say, you're right, preacher. I need to get to a place. Oh, I love Him, and He's been good. Oh, He's been good. You know what you ought to do this Thanksgiving? You ought to step out of that seat and publicly come to this altar and say, I want to publicly thank You, Lord. I want to publicly worship You. I want to publicly bow and say, holy, holy, holy. Glory to God. You ought to find a place in this altar. I wonder how many this morning you slip up your hand and say, preacher, in His presence I feel so convicted. In His presence I feel so uncomfortable. There's things in my life that shouldn't be. And I realize this morning as I get close to Him, my, I want to clean up. I want to clean up and worship Him. Would you slip your hand up honest before God? God bless you. Would there be one this morning? Raise your hand. Say, I want to go to heaven. Oh, heaven to be my home. I want to go to that place where it's pure worship. I want to go to that place where it's glory. And if I died today, I'm not sure heaven's my home. But boy, when I get in His presence, I want to know Him. Oh, I want to know Him. Would you slip your hand up, lost person? Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I tell you what, let's do. As many Christians here, it's Thanksgiving. God's blessed you. God's been good to you. Why don't you publicly come and say, I just want to worship Him for a little while. I just want to praise Him.
I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. Worship him and praise him. Would you step out of that seat and come? Ladies, men, young people, teenagers. What if God took it all away? Boy, then you'd be thankful. What if you lost it? Then you'd be thankful. Why don't you see yourself for who you are? You don't deserve it. That'll make you thankful. Let's just worship him and pray. You know, this is pure church. It's pure church. God, I'm not coming to ask you for something. I'm not coming because I want something. I'm just coming to say thank you. I'm just coming to say worthy. That's the only reason I'm coming. I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to say thank you. That's why I come, God. And you deserve it. Oh, God, you deserve it. And you step out of that seat and come. You come on, mind the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what? Who cares? It's between me and God. I'm going to worship him a little while. I'm going to thank him. Children, teenagers, older people, saved people, whoever you are. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye. Praise ye. Praise ye the Lord. He's worthy.